Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. The spirit of the 50s lives on the Savage Nation. That's a good line. It's a new one. Am I supposed to hate the 50s? I kind of love the 50s. Eisenhower was in the White House. It was safe for my mother to walk to the corner and buy a loaf of bread or a container of milk any time of day or night. Queens, New York. People feared the police. They went to church. They went to synagogue. A man was a man. A woman was a woman. If men didn't get married by 25, they were considered weird. Yeah, it was a different world, I admit. So here we are sitting in the netherworld of today. And I have a lot of topics I do want to talk about, including why my positions on Snowden and Julian Assange of WikiLeaks differ. Because a friend of mine sent me an email saying, you know, people said to me on social media, Savage has a completely different view of Julian Assange of WikiLeaks than he does on Snowden. He called Snowden a hero. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but I got a text on my ancient phone this morning. I have a couple of different devices. Apparently, this old Samsung device can be dropped from a building and bounce, and it can't be hacked. I understand. These flip phones, can they be hacked, Robert? Are they hackable? No. I love this phone. And I got an email, a text from a friend of mine who's a former combat veteran in Vietnam, a real hero, though, Silver Star. I didn't know who sent it, frankly. I didn't recognize his number. So I thought it was someone bothering me. I look at it, it says, so now we've got troops on the ground in Syria? The Russians are a lot smarter. Their commitment is an air force. They're not risking young Russian soldiers in that garbage can. This looks like 1964 all over again. Now, this comes from a rock-solid combat veteran who has bullet wounds in his body from the Vietnam War. So don't start screaming pinko progressive, all you PJ media types out there. Something's wrong with that picture. Why are we sending troops to Syria? Do you agree with Trump that we need ground troops in Syria? Is it a good or bad idea? It's my question of the day. No one's talking about it. Do you agree with Trump in sending ground troops to Syria? We don't know how many are there. What happens if they capture a few of our men and torture them to death on camera? Have you ever thought about that? The Russians, by the way, have not had one man captured. You know why? They kill everybody in sight when they go in from 30,000 feet. Everyone dies. They don't care if it's a camel, an infant, an old man, a yoga instructor. They all die. But their own boys don't die. You see, that's how they fight wars. They lost 40 million men in World War II. I don't think they want to waste another generation of men. Which is why so many of the beautiful Russian women are coming to America looking for men. There's a shortage of men, in case you don't know it, because so many of them were wasted a couple of generations ago. But I don't want to bore you with the details of war. Do you agree with the Pope that married men can be priests? That's his newest thing. It's an odd one, because I've actually said the same thing myself a few years ago. It would cut down on Look, let's look at it this way. The Pope is a left-wing communist whack job. A former bouncer and all. We know that. He's not really a religious figure any more than I am. He's a politician who wears like a funny hat and walks around in a glass car. And people in glass cars shouldn't throw diatribes. But nevertheless, the Pope said something I agree with, because even a stop clock is correct twice a day. The Pope said that he thinks married men can become priests. I actually think it would cut down on molestation. Think about it. I mean, First of all, if the guy's married, we're talking about married man to woman. We're not talking about the other stuff that's popular in Columbus, Ohio. If you're going to put married men into the priesthood, because you can't get enough people going into the priesthood, there's too much money at Google. In other words, if they get a job at Google, why would they want to become a priest? It's the same thing, basically. They're both celibate. In one case, you make money and you get free beer. In the other case, you don't make any money and you get no free beer. So in other words, what would you choose if you were that type of personality? You'd go to work for Google or Facebook. You wouldn't become a priest. In the old days, guys working there, like the nerds, they'd be priests. Right? That's kind of sarcastic and a little, you know, weird, but it's true. There's a touch of truth in that one. I agree with the Pope. I think married men can be priests. When did this start? This is a new thing, by the way, celibacy in the priesthood. It's not, you know, biblical. Not a biblical thing, the celibacy thing. It's kind of an odd thing. I mean, why do you think there's so much trouble there inside behind those rectories? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. We know it's a small percentage there. What, 2-3% of them are sickos. But it costs the church a lot of money for the few sickos. So put married men into the church. What's wrong with that? Into the priesthood. Nothing wrong with that. I remember when I was a kid, I lived on Utopia Parkway in Queens, New York. I keep hearkening back to it. They weren't the best years of my life. They weren't great. They were horrible, by the way. I actually despised my childhood. I'm much happier today. In other words, my life today, I know people always like glorify their childhood. Mine was grueling, horrible. Migraines, fights, screaming, yelling, jobs, no money, clothing was horrible, dead man's pants, slush, having to go to school in the slush. Who wants to go to school in slush? Everyone else looked like they were like blonde, blue-eyed, and lived in California and surfed. I was schlepping to Jamaica High School in slush on the Q44A. But nevertheless, we live next to a large Catholic church. And sometimes, to this day, I remember walking up Utopia Parkway to the corner, I don't know, to catch a bus or something. I had no car. It was one car in the family. Could you believe that? We were that poor that there was only one car in the family. How poor can you get? Only dad had a car. Mom had no car. Can you imagine living like that? Oh, my God. One vacation a year. How can we live like that? You wonder why there's a budget deficit. Everyone's living beyond their means. The government's living beyond their means. So anyway, I was walking up to the corner, I think, and I would walk past some houses in the attached house row that I lived in that were owned by the church that the priests lived in. They always had a weird... I always, like, walked across the street passing that rectory. They always had, like, a weird look on their faces. They were, like, too pink. They always, like, looked like they washed with brown soap. And I don't know. There was something odd about the look on the face of the altar boys as they came out of those houses. I avoided those places. I was afraid of them. So I don't know. I agree that Pope Francis may have something that married men can be priests. Is this going over well? What's going on with the audience out there? I don't expect you to call. It's Friday. I haven't gotten into the main show topic, which is why my positions on Snowden and Julian Assange and WikiLeaks differ. I don't think you care. I think I'll play some song. I already gave you the Castle in the Sky. Let's go back to the 1950s again, and let's play the Del Vikings in Whispering Bells for Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. The Whispering Bells got me through, I think, geometry in my second year in high school. I mean, it was rock and roll that saved me altogether, that I didn't have to put my head into the didactics of geometry. I could listen to the harp tones like Life is But a Dream, or the Flamingos' Kiss from Your Lips, or the Five Keys' Close Your Eyes, or the Dells' Oh, What a Night, or the Del Vikings' Whispering Bells. Can't find it, okay. How about the Clovers' Devil or Angel? How about the Channels' The Closer You Are? How about the Cadillacs' Speedo? I like Speedo because I was like the Speedo in my school. There you go, that's me. Call me a Speedo. I still say no one can do this on the saxophone. Who were these guys? What were they on? They really made us jump, I gotta tell you. You hear a thing like this could get you through a whole school year. And I remember going up to the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Now, let me tell that story again for those of you who don't know anything about anything. Okay, Harlem was largely an African-American neighborhood. And they used to have rock and roll shows up in the Apollo Theater in Harlem. So you say, oh, white boys going to go up to Harlem, they're going to get their butts kicked. No, didn't happen. This was in the 1950s. This was before the hippie revolution of the 60s, when the races were taught to hate each other. This is before communism penetrated all communities in America. So we took the buses, subways, I don't know how many different subways and buses we took. We get up to the Apollo Theater. And it's true that the white kids sat in one part of the theater by and large, and the black kids sat in another. That is true. But everyone would join together in freaking out and loving the music of the Alan Freed rock and roll shows. Everyone was in the aisles dancing and dancing and singing along. You know what I'm saying? So, like, after the show, listen to my point. We'd pour out into the streets. No one got knifed. No one got punched. Nothing. What happened to this country with the so-called progressive revolution that everyone hates each other now? Answer. The progressive revolution happened. That's why everyone hates each other now. It's by design that the communist progressive movement has everyone pitted at each other's throat. They want the races divided, the sex divided, ages divided, families divided. One old tactic George Soros must have learned it in Hungary over a goulash. Divide and conquer. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-487-2822. I got the calls now coming in on the priests to marry, boots on the ground in the Middle East. I love guys who are going to call now, yeah, I'm all for them boots on the ground. I want more American troops to go over there. Well, I would say everyone in radio who loves the idea should just leave radio, see if they can get a size triple X uniform that might fit, you know, whatever the size is with the triple X on it, like 46 triple X, and go enlist in the military. I'm sure you could put your boots on the ground if only you'll put down your microphone or your camera. And your fancy living. All the guys are going to call for boots on the ground. Why don't you go enlist? I'm against boots on the ground. I'm for bombs on the ground. I'm for bombing them from 35,000 feet until they don't exist anymore. Cluster bombs. Makes no difference to me. Whatever we have in ordnance, use it. You know where their training camps are. Oh, I'm sorry. They have children who they're training to kill you as well? You think those children are going to be rehabilitated once they get to Germany? And they give every child who arrives an axe and a knife? Joke. They're never going to rehabilitate them. They come to the West and they hate your guts. Look at their faces, you idiots, you! Walk around the streets of your city and take a look at the faces of hate. See where the hate's coming from. Oh, I know, I should talk about love, not hate. Okay, I'll talk about love. Give peace a chance. Put a daisy in a rifle butt, in a rifle barrel. Yeah, John Lennon. Give peace a chance, right. I've given peace a chance. It doesn't work. If a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, George Orwell taught me personally, he said, if a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put a bomb in his mother's house first. That's the answer to that question. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage and the Savage Nation on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Yeah, kill it. I don't like this. I don't like this. It doesn't do anything for me. I more or less like rock and roll from a different style, different style. So here we are, Rock and Roll Friday. And I've asked the question, because the Pope is right this time. I don't know how he got this right. But he's thinking about using married priests in remote areas where they can't get people to join the priesthood. So, well, you know, parts of the world, people get married. I know it's shocking in San Francisco. I get it. For a man to marry a woman, I get that. In New York, it's an anomaly. For a man to find a woman, marry, and have children. I understand it's a freak show to you. But there are parts of the world where the primitive humans still believe in finding a woman, having a family, and actually staying on through thick and through thin. I know it's a shock for you youngsters to hear that. And I know it's so animalistic to do that, but we're not doves, we're humans, I mean, but that's it. So I agree with the Pope that married priests would be a good idea. Then I didn't get to the other one. I mean, you don't really care about Snowden and Assange and my difference of opinion on that's the odd part. I have so many things I want to talk about. I don't have the time. I have 3 minutes now? Okay, I got 3 minutes now. A number of things are going on at once. First of all, my book launches Tuesday, so I'm excited as a cat on a hot tin roof. I was on Newsmax TV this morning with Steve Malzberg. We'll play a piece. They'll have it on Newsmax TV. It's running right now. It was a fabulous interview. But the book is out Tuesday in bookstores, and I do expect you'll go there and buy a copy, period, end of story. Now, number two, I know I shouldn't say it, but I will say it. I've signed a deal with an outlet that will have this show, as I'm doing it, live streaming. The whole show will be streaming live on cable outlets. Big deal. It's a huge deal. It will not be by subscription.
We're not going to garner for you. You don't have to pay for it. How do you like that? It'll be purely supported by advertising. So it'll be seen around the world, which is amazing to me. I'm not really positive I'm going to love the lights and cameras in every one of my home studios, but I've committed to it. Because I have a bit of the theatrical gene in me that's kind of frustrated. And I kind of love it. I actually do like it. Forces me to get dressed up for radio. Normally, you know what I wear. Like, you don't know what I'm wearing. I figure it's only in the head. But now I have to think about hair, the beard, the shirt, the tie. I'm not going to do shirt and tie. But this is going to be a big thing because it's going to be at no cost to you. So people are going to tune it in. And in the cities where the show is blacked out owing to liberalism and stupidity of program directors, it will be seen in those cities on dish television, which is a big deal. So my audience will now become magnified around the world very shortly. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it'll happen in the next couple of months, I suppose. So be on the lookout for that one, God willing. I know, just when I thought I could get out, they pulled me back in kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? I keep thinking I'm going to leave the media and retire. I can't. I'm addicted to it, and my mind is sharper than it's ever been. I knew it this morning when I was doing the interview. My mind was sharper. You know how you know when you're sharper, you can feel it? Where the answers are crisper, cleaner, right to the point. No hemming, no homing, no ha, 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 oh, ha, ha, nothing. Zing. Each shot was clean. Each cut was as clean as a samurai. So I know my head's clear. It's good. So I feel good about it. I don't know how long you can do this. I saw a thing this morning of a 98-year-old yoga instructor in India. 98 years old, supple old woman, legs behind her head. She teaches every morning, gets up at 5. I guess you can keep working late on. I have a friend whose father fought his way across Europe. I respect this man enormously. Landed at Normandy and fought his way to Berlin. Infantryman. He's in his 90s. He still works in New York. What's this idea of retirement? It kills a man faster than the flu in 1919, retirement. The surest road to perdition is retirement. You see the poor men, they don't know what to do with themselves. They cut the lawn. They cut the hedge. They go shopping for the wife. They don't know what to do with themselves. I'm not a civil servant. I'm a servant of civility. This is the Savage Nation. That's, I love that line. That's a good one. I'm going to consider a career in radio when I get older. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Old man rhythm is in my shoe. Kill it, I don't like it. Can't stand it. No, not good. He doesn't know what I like. It's not his problem. I like different kind of rock and roll. But anyway, it's Rock and Roll Friday. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling no pain, as Jackie Gleason used to say, whoever he was. So Trump's war, his battle for America, book launch interview scheduled. Started today. You'll get the book Tuesday. Maybe you bought it online already from Amazon and they got it to you. So I did this, the Newsmax. Look, I want you to see the bias in the media. You know how few shows are booking me? Newsmax TV, thanks to Chris Ruddy. Brian Sussman show with Katie Green on KSFO. Alex Jones next week. Fabulous broadcaster, Alex Jones. Larry King, Aura TV. I like the Larry King show. It's like a small show on Aura, which, by the way, runs on RT, for those of you into conspiracy. I guess you could say Larry King now works for the Russians. He went over to the Ruskies. Even though he's a lifetime liberal, now he's a Russian spy. And Laura Ingraham, next Thursday, great Laura. And that's it. Larry Kudlow, following Saturday, great man on WABC. Great ratings on WABC Radio, Larry Kudlow, next Saturday. And that's it. That's the whole schedule. No, I wonder why I'm not on Fox News. Isn't that a conservative outlet? Yeah, right. Okay, terrific. Yeah, boycott Mike. Breitbart, boycott Mike. Fox News, boycott Mike, right. Hey, I get by with a little help from my friends. That's all there is to it. KSFO Donna, line 3, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I want to say, you've got a friend in me. I love your show. And I'm very excited to hear about the live stream. And even more so, the fact that it's in tandem with your book launch. I think it's a great day.
Well, the live stream won't come up. No, the live stream's not going to come up. They got to put in the cameras and all. And I want to reiterate, though, there's no subscription price. That's a dead format. It won't work. I'm not charging for it. Advertisers are going to pay for the show, and that's the way it's going to run. People are not going to really subscribe to these things much, I don't think.
Yeah, and we'd be happy to support them for you, Dr. Savage. And
that's okay. Go on. You buy the gold. You buy the hair polish, the eyebrow stuff, shoes. So what do you think about priests? Should married priests be allowed?
It's interesting that you asked me that, because I was thinking about that. And, yes, I think it's long overdue. And they've been hiding behind the veil in the church for a long time. And I think it's a...
Hiding behind the veil?
If so to speak, as far as people doing things they shouldn't be doing when they should be.
Oh, in other words, they're playing hanky-panky. Yeah. Francis the Pope said in an interview published Thursday in Germany's Die Zeit that the Catholic Church must study whether the so-called viri probati, Latin for tested men or married men of outstanding faith, could be ordained. We must consider a viri probati as a possibility. Then we must determine what tasks they can perform, for example, in remote communities, Pope Francis said. Pope Francis said eliminating the church's celibacy rule is not the answer to the priest shortage, but that the idea of using married men could be helpful. Married men are allowed to be ordained to the priesthood in the Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church. He said if that requirement were to be relaxed, it would apply only to men who are already married, allowing them to be ordained as priests. It would not allow men who are already priests to marry without... to marry, okay. He said without priests, the church... It's true, the priest is the building block of the whole church. So I, with no sarcasm, I truly believe that permitting married men who want to serve God to do it this way is a great idea. I don't see the problem. All right, thank you very much for that call. What do you think about married priests? You want to do this or not and move on? Boring. I don't think people care. Job growth strong in February. No, here's a shocking story on Drudge that I meant to get to. FBI extensively used Best Buy Geek Squad for secret surveillance. Oh, come on now. You mean every time I went and bought a TV, those freaks were like encoding the television again to watch me watching the news? I got to get new clothing because I bought this TV, the Samsung TV at Best Buy. Honestly, so I'm being doubly surveilled, both by the television and by the schmucks at Best Buy? Trained technicians shared target lists. Now, who's on that target list? I really want, like, talk show hosts? Guys coming in with bomb manuals in their arm? And how would they know who to survey? Who are the idiots at Best Buy, at Geek Squad, know who to tell the FBI they're watching with their search devices? Who would they look for? How do they tell who's like a freak or a porno guy, illegal porno? Look at this. In 2016, a defense lawyer claimed the FBI made Best Buy an unofficial wing of the FBI by incentivizing Geek Squad employees to dig through customers' computers, paying $500 each time they found evidence that could launch criminal cases. Oh, good God. During a pretrial hearing in January, I can't read any more of this. Ugh. Oh, this is awful. What are they doing now in this country? How did it come to this? How did it come to this, that everyone's watching everyone? It's not even... I'm not watching anyone. I'm not interested in what you're doing, frankly. What do I want to spy on anyone for? Do I care what you do in your private life? It's boring. I'm not a civil servant. I'm a servant of civility. That was my line for the last segment. Good line, Mike. How soon will it be stolen? Let's see now. It's till Monday he goes in the... I figure by Monday. It's already been typed out for him. I don't feel bad today. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I feel good. Something must be wrong. He's like the old Buddy Hackett, the comedian. He had the funniest line I ever heard in my life. You don't know who he is. He was a comedian in the 1950s, Catskill Mountains. Pudgy guy. Funny. All the great comedians knew how funny this guy was. So I once remember seeing him at the Concord Hotel up in the Catskills. I was a little kid. I didn't really get all the humor. But the adults would scream. They'd double up with laughter. So there's comedian Buddy Hackett. And he once said... He said, they took me into the army. They sent me to Fort Dix. He said, I went to the doctor. I said, doctor, there's something wrong with me. He said, what? He said, for the first time in my life after I eat food, I don't feel indigestion. What's wrong with me? He said, I've been eating my mother's food my whole life. I thought indigestion was a normal response to a meal. He said, I ate army food. I had no indigestion. I thought I was sick. I mean, come on. That's funny stuff. You don't get it. You have to have grown up in New York with really bad food to understand how funny that is. Because outside of New York in those days, people ate horrible. White bread, mayonnaise, you know, Pepsi Cola with it. That was it. That was dinner. Maybe an occasional fried chicken for Lent. But people ate terribly outside of New York. New Yorkers always pride themselves on great food. It wasn't. It was heart attack food. Poison. Poison. Feh. Garbage. Schmaltz and everything. Greasy. Horrible. Salt. Dead at 49. Blown up feet. People at 40, they look 75. Yoga? No one knew yoga. Think about that yoga. Like today, yoga. The yoga pants. Don't get me started on yoga pants. It was bad enough I had to live through the miniskirt. It almost destroyed my life. Then I wake up. I'm an older man. Now it's yoga pants. Can they stop already? I don't mind the yoga pants if the woman has a body for it. Why do some of the most misshapen women on the planet wear yoga pants? Why must I look at every crease in their body? Why must I look at that? Why do they make me look at them? Can't they wear a skirt? Can't there be a requirement they wear a burqa? You know, the Middle Easterners are not all crazy. Maybe they understood if it was a choice between yoga pants for their women and a burqa, they chose the latter. You can't blame them. I'm not trying to, like, fat shame you. I'm just saying. So now I got to live through the yoga pants thing. But what I was saying is in the 50s, there was no yoga. There were a few freaks down in the east, in the West Village who did yoga. Like, always like, yoga? If you said someone was a yoga, he was a yogi, Yogi Berra? No one knew. Where did yoga come from? Like this Eastern meditation. Of course, like, people think it's like communism now. Like, everyone's being, like, brainwashed in a yoga studio. No. They're stretching, that's all. They're getting rid of a lot of tension by doing yoga. A lot of people who are ex-wild people go into yoga. Like, calms them down. I don't want to get, this is a family show, I can't go into what I actually think about yoga, because there's a sexual component to yoga. You know it and I know it. It's either a way of repressing sexuality or exhibiting sexuality or meeting someone in a yoga studio. Come on. It's not all stretching. You're stretching. Your father probably stretched in the bedroom when he woke up in the morning. He did put his arms out, bent over, did five deep knee bends, and he was stretched. He didn't have to go to a studio in like jester pants and exhibit his private parts. It was crazy. Where'd this come from? And then, like, eat a vegan hot dog afterwards? I'm just trying to avoid the married priest thing. I'm trying to move on. It's the Savage Nation. Mumps outbreaks reported across USA. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Hundreds of cases of mumps have been recorded across the country since the start of 2017, according to the fraudulent Centers for Disease Control. I try to tell the president the CDC has become so politicized he needs to clean it out like with Raid. I don't know where he's going to get scientists who are not polluted politicians. Okay, so you look at this study. Mumps outbreaks, but they don't say why we're having a new resurgence of mumps. I know why. I wrote about it years ago. It's called Immigrants and Epidemics. Mumps were largely gone in America as a disease. Not totally gone. So now they're saying the answer is to take vaccines. Are you listening to me now? Camille Sabella, director of Cleveland Clinic's Children's Center for Pediatric Infectious Diseases, says, typically children are given two doses of the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, and rubella, which is the best protection against mumps, Sabella said. Sabella said the virus is typically spread quickly among students. Really? Now let's look at why it's spread in schools. Answer, because many of them are coming from third world cesspools where mumps is endemic and epidemic. And they're throwing them into our schools and infecting our children. That's why the head of the CDC should have been fired and put in prison for malpractice. That's why I told President Trump he needs to clean out the CDC and the NIH for that matter. Because they won't even tell you where they're the source of these diseases. That's all. End of story. Moving on here. I'm moving on. I'm giving a lot of different stories today. I could say if you want to call the show and give you the number and this and that, but I want to hear some rock and roll. Let's go back to the guys I went to Jamaica High School with, the Hoptones. Were they the Hoptones, the ones I like? They were great singers. No one knew how good they were at that. Is there a Hoptone in the audience? Do we have the Hoptones? They went to Jamaica High School, I think. How about a Sunday Kind of Love? I think they went to Jamaica High School. They lived in South Jamaica. And then instead of killing people, they went into music. Can you imagine how primitive that was to express your rage in art? Most artists are full of rage. You don't know that. I don't know, I'm talking about stuff. The Penguins and Earth Angel is just so good. But there are no longer any finished basements that I can dance in, so what's the point of playing it? Could you play Earth Angel by the Penguins? I'll tell a childhood story, which everyone loves, about dancing when I was 13 years old, until my clothing... go on, please, and then can't find it. The Penguins, Earth Angel. This was a real... that's what I'm talking about. Crew cut. girl. It wasn't a purse. It was a girl. Like an object to be conquered.
It's true that women are right about that. Play this song for me. I'm thinking out loud now. Earth angel. Now, how could a woman live up to that? What woman is an earth angel? You know anyone who's an earth angel 30 days a month? Are you crazy? What mean earth angel? See, you glorify a woman, you have to knock her off the pedestal. She don't want you to glorify. This is a secret to guys don't know this. Don't glorify a girlfriend because she knows that you're setting her up for a fall. She doesn't want you to put her on a pedestal. Do you understand that? Guys never understand that when they're young. Frown a lot. Be angry. Be who you really are. I'll be right back.
Savage. I'm back with you. Look, we all need medicine, but prescription medication costs really add up, and most people don't know that pharmacy prices vary widely, and insurance is not always your best bet. With GoodRx, you can stop paying too much for your prescriptions. You see, GoodRx is an easy way for Americans to save up to 80% on their prescriptions. In fact, most people save at least 49% off of the retail price with GoodRx, and GoodRx is easy to use. They even used my name. You just text GOODRX 466379, enter the code SAVAGE, then you throw in the name of your prescription and your zip code, bing. While GOODRX is not insurance, GOODRX prices often beat insurance prices. Don't go to the pharmacy, please, without checking drug prices first at GOODRX. GOODRX saves you money. It's totally free, no membership required. No need to supply personal info. I'll repeat that, no personal info required. To see how you can start saving money on your prescription, just text GOODRX, that's 466379, enter the code SAVAGE. That's GoodRx, 466-379 on your mobile. Code SAVAGE, bingo, just money to save. Check out GoodRx for your prescription now. It's so simple. Just text GoodRx and enter the code SAVAGE. Try it today. Don't wait. Go to GoodRx today and save lots of money on prescriptions. Okay, now we're back to the big stories of the day. I'm not doing the big stories of the day because that's not what I do. Gingrich says Trump very frugal on government spending. Now, there's a big story. I wanted to talk about the budget because this is the part that worries me the most about the whole thing. Here is a big, big story. Now, in Trump's war, I talk about Trump's economic war. He is now calling for $1 trillion in infrastructure spending, and everyone's saying, wait a minute, ho. Weren't we against Obama's stimulus package? Are we getting Obama again now, from Obamacare to Trumpcare, the same thing? Now it's stimulus spending again? Well, my hope is that we're going to get it with privatization. And I talk about the funding, for example, of the infrastructure reconstruction through privatization. And then I talk about toll roads, for example, which is one of the best things in the whole book. It's a real something, a real find. No one's seen that yet, where the word toll road came from, how most infrastructure was private in the United States of America right after the Constitution. Trump's economic war, turnpikes, is a great piece in the book. Long forgotten down the memory hole is America's former private road system. I'll bet you didn't know that for the first 80 or so years after the Constitution was ratified, most roads and infrastructure were built just as Donald Trump is suggesting they be built now, by private companies investing their own funds and running them for profit. Anyone who has driven in the Northeast has traveled on a turnpike. But how many of you know what the word turnpike means? Huh? Pike is another word for pole, and the roads are called turnpikes because when they were first built, they were all toll roads run by private companies. They'd have a long pole of pike across the road, and when you pay the toll, they turn the pike to open the road and let you pass. It's similar to the turnstiles at modern subway systems. Now, just to be clear, I'm Michael Savage. I'm not talking about today's system where the money for the road is collected in taxes, and the government hires and pays a corrupt contractor to complete the road in the longest time at the greatest expense possible. I'm talking about private investment, which is lean and mean, all in Trump's war. You agree with me or not? I'll be back to take your calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation. And here I am reminiscing to a time in America that everything was perfect. Now, I'm not a civil servant, as I said in hour number one. I'm a servant of civility, which is my best line of the day. I love that one. And as a servant of civility, I'm serving up to you some questions for the day. The big question that we try to deal with in hour one, I got no calls. Now we're jammed out on this one, is the Pope says that some married men should be priests. I agree with him, and we're taking calls on that. But don't flood me with that one. It's kind of boring. I mean, it's a given. They should be. If a man is married, he decides to become a priest. What's wrong with that? This whole concept of celibacy, I think, originated in the 1800s anyway. This is not a traditional concept of celibacy for the priesthood. So what's the big deal? It'll cut down on you-know-what if you have a married man in there instead of a guy who has a little weakness for a certain thing. You know? Okay, so that's not a good one. Then another one is, I wake up and there's American troops now in Syria. We don't know how many. They're saying 1,000. It sounds awfully like Vietnam to me. It started with advisors. The Russians just bomb from 30,000 feet. No Russian boys die. They're not captured and tortured by the jihadis. Why are we not just bombing their training camps and their strongholds and getting out of there? Why are we putting men on the ground? So now, this becomes a difficult question for us. And it somewhat goes to this whole thing of idealization that I was talking about in the dating world. You know, I said don't place a woman on a pedestal, because what they will do after that, a man usually does with that, is devolve into abuse. There's a cycle called idealization. It's followed by devaluation and then discard, where you throw the woman off the pedestal. A lot of men do that. They put them on a pedestal and eventually devalue them, saying, oh, you're not really perfect, and then have an excuse to get rid of them, right? So this is a problem. It's the same thing in politics, is what I'm saying. For those of you who put Donald Trump on a pedestal, many of you are now throwing him off the pedestal. You're devaluing him, and then soon you're going to discard him. You're very disloyal supporters of the whole revolution. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's a huge overlap in what I'm saying to you right now between dating relationships and political relationships. And it's worth looking at. You people who supported Trump gung-ho and now are turning on him were really always the never-Trumpers. And the never-Trumpers are saying, aha, we told you so. They were always bad. They were always bad. They were always liberals in disguise, pretending that because they supported so-called more conservative candidates, they were better than you. Well, they would have lost. It's great to support a conservative candidate who can't win. So you support a candidate who can win, who give you a percentage of what you want rather than a 0%. What do you want, 50% of something or 100% of nothing? I once learned that in a business deal. I really woke up in my 30s. A lawyer once said to me, what do you want? Would you rather have 60% of something or 100% of nothing? That's called compromise. You understand that? That's how the real world works. And it works that way in politics. It works that way in relationships. Works that way with a pet, for crying out loud. I love my dog, Teddy. I'll give you an example. But you got to take the good with the bad, don't you? He does things I'm not happy with. He gets sick. Am I happy cleaning up his vomit? No. Am I happy when he, you know, does these things, rips up a pillow, even in his age? No. But you don't throw the dog out because he rips up a pillow or vomits on the floor. Nothing is perfect. I mean, I guess I'm saying stuff that you already know, right? It's a given. So let's move on. All right, I'll move on. You all know this. So let's just play rock and roll and not give you any ideas at all. I'm not in the mood to even talk. I feel so good something is wrong. I know that the hammer is about to fall. Something terrible is about to happen. It's like a reverse of the Buddy Hackett. I'm telling you, that's how it is. It's not that I ate good food and I don't have indigestion. I don't know what it is. It's like I did the TV and it was very tense. Then it wasn't. I was relieved. I enjoyed it enormously. I guess I have that ham in me that I like being on TV with that. I don't know. I just enjoy. I always enjoy it when these book tours come up.
It's exciting. And make, you know that energy gives me energy? Giving more energy gives me more energy. Doing less gives me no energy. I found that out when I was in my 30s. I have more energy now than I did in my 30s. Would you believe that? I'm like that yoga instructor who was at 98 still teaching yoga in India. What if I'm still on the radio at 90? Wouldn't that be weird? The oldest man in the history of talk radio and I still sound young. What if I have that weird thing happen to me where I sound just like this at 90? How would you know the difference? Now, it's an interesting thing. You don't know how old anyone is unless they sound old. But as the cardiologist said to me, never. He had an old man, a customer, client, patient, whatever. The guy was 90, so he asked the guy, what's your secret to longevity? The guy said, never let an old person live in your body. I know guys like half my age. I knew them my whole life. At age 30 or 35, they'd start putting their hand on their back going, oh, my back hurts. Like, guys in their 30s, they kvetch about their back. That's the giveaway, is when the back starts to look like a glue horse. You ever see guys that, like, from the front, they look strong and, like, energetic, and their arms are, like, puffed out with the lats, but from behind they look like a glue horse? The back is the whole thing, by the way. The strength of the back, like holding up the whole frame, is the whole, is the spinal column and the muscles and the Jerry Lewis. It holds up the back. But I had another friend who at 40, I saw what he looked like. From behind, I ran into him in a supermarket. He looked like his grandfather. From the front, he was still my friend that I knew. But when I turned the aisle, came around, I thought it was an old man leaning over a shopping cart. He was already old at 40 because of the glue horse look. Anyway, I mean, do you understand what I'm talking about? Sometimes I think I get so... Gingrich says Trump is very frugal on government spending, will help economic growth. Okay, let's hope so. Penn says CIA leak, one of the most significant compromises of the national security in recent history. Okay, not playing it. Penn says what WikiLeaks has done is a serious offense and a compromise of the security of the American people. He's right. He's right. Play clip four. I want to hear Vice President Pence on the WikiLeaks thing, because this triggered me yesterday. Play four.
Trafficking in national security information, as is alleged WikiLeaks has done here, is a very serious offense. And it represents a compromise of the security of the American people. And this president and this administration will take that very seriously and use the full force of the law and the resources of the United States to all of those to account that were involved. What is your stance?
Absolutely right. Now, I'm going to get right to the monologue I dictated and wrote before the show, because someone sent me an email who I respect, who said, you know, people are saying you're a bit of a you're confusing us here, because you supported Snowden. You said he was a hero about a year ago, 2 years ago, or maybe 6 months ago when I saw the movie Snowden. I really got to like the guy, but then I forgot who did the movie Snowden. It was done by a certifiable left-wing fanatic, Oliver Stone, remember? So he turned Snowden into a hero. Now, the movie died, by the way. It was a bomb. A great movie. I really loved the character Snowden, but I came away from it forgetting that it was a propaganda piece showing Snowden as a hero. He really wasn't a hero. But I said he was a hero at the time. So someone said, well, why are you now saying that Julian Assange at WikiLeaks is different? Well, I'm going to give you the answer right now. What is the difference? I'll do it like a platonic dialogue. Oh, master, what is the difference between Snowden and the WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange? Well, slave boy. That, by the way, that's how the dialogues were written. If you ever read Aristotle, did you know that? It was master and slave boy. Did you know that, Robert? Did they teach that in college? It was a master talking to a slave. I couldn't believe that. Can you imagine that, Aristotle? Well, slave boy, I think the answer can be found in the fact that we learned yesterday that WikiLeaks' Julian Assange is partnering with the tech giants, Google, Apple, Microsoft, and Facebook, to make sure that the CIA cannot get into any of their devices. Oh, this is astounding to see collusion between the world's biggest hacker and the largest tech companies on the planet. Slave boy, I have to ask myself, what's wrong with this picture? I no longer see a Lone Ranger, I see something else. Slave boy is silent. Master says, so it's the partnership between Julian Assange of WikiLeaks and the very tech giants that refuse to give the FBI encryption codes to permit the FBI to get into the phone of the Muslim terrorists in San Bernardino. That has me deeply concerned about Julian Assange, his motives, and that is why my position on Snowden and WikiLeaks Assange differ. Slave boy, does that answer the question? You see what I'm saying to you? Something's wrong. We don't know who Julian Assange is. We don't know what foreign governments he may or may not be aligned with. We don't know what his ultimate motivations are. And I frankly think it's going to make it tougher to break into the phones or to, frankly, to hack into terrorists' plans. So, okay, now we come back to the old Ben Franklin question. the trade-off between privacy and security, the age-old conundrum. Ben Franklin, as you probably know, said those who are willing to give up a bit of privacy to have a bit of security will have neither. I love that line. But Ben Franklin needed a haircut, and he was flying a kite with a key on it. Maybe he got a little too much juice from the sky. He was not living in this age. He was living in another age. There was no telegraph at the time. So I think if Ben Franklin were alive today, he'd modify his statement. It sounds beautiful. It's written well. It's gorgeous. However, from the esoteric point of view of a civil libertarian, it is beautifully put. But from the point of view of the real world we're living in, where Muslim fanatics are plotting to blow us up and destroy our civilization, I'm sorry, Ben Franklin's little adage doesn't apply, in my estimation. That's all. What do you want from me? Now we go to boots on the ground in Syria. Vietnam veteran friend of mine, highly decorated paratrooper, great man, says, oh no, here we go, it's 1964 all over again. And this guy's a hardcore conservative, as hard as they come. So now we have, who's driving the troops on the ground idea? Is it General Mattis? Who's doing this? Why don't we just bomb them in their strongholds? Kill everything that moves. Oh, we don't want collateral damage, so Wolf Blitzer can't be with them with the camera? Is that the problem? Well, I'm afraid that we have boots on the ground in Syria. One of our guys are going to be captured and tortured to death in front of our eyes. But you may disagree with me. That's all. So that's another topic. So it's Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation. I'll take your calls at 855-47-282. Let's have a piece of rock and roll, Robert. Let me pick a song for them to listen to, because I'm in a wonderful mood today. I know it's a horrible depression coming right after this. I feel too good. I know something bad's coming Saturday. I just know it. I can feel it. How about any of the songs I like on the Savage Nation? The Velours, the Moonglows. How about the Moonglows? Yeah, kind of schmaltzy, Secret Love. No. I keep going back to the Penguins, Earth Angel, because that was a good launching pad. No one wants rock and roll. Oh, I know. Wait, before the break. Okay, the Bob Chords, Castle in the Sky. It's got a rhythm I love. That's a song.
Castle in the sky.
Hey, if you're not dancing in your soul, I feel bad for you. I'm actually dancing here in the studio. Would you believe it? Holding the microphone, dancing. Dog is with the caretaker Irene on Friday. I miss the little guy. Every time he leaves, he's like, he's dead. I hate giving him up on Mondays and Fridays. Like, I get a gut feeling that he's gone. It's a terrible feeling. And Monday and Friday, like, Irene, the dog care person, comes, gets the dog and my other dogs, takes him to the house, grooms him, walks him, feeds him. They get to play day with other dogs. But like, the whole day I'm not with him. I keep looking at the sofa where he watches my show and he's not there. It's like a premonition of what's coming eventually. It's the whole thing, you know, it's the whole cycle. You know, I don't want to go into it, but I just went into it. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Michael Savage, weekdays from noon to 3 on Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
It is Rock and Roll Friday, so playing Little Cachao, Mambo, 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 on the Savage Nation. This is great Cuban music, in case you know what I'm playing. This is before the bearded one took over the island and turned it into a cesspool, a totalitarian cesspool that only liberals could love. So, yeah, the topics are pretty heavy. Like, here we are with troops in Syria. Should married men be allowed to be priests? You know, a lot of stuff. Now, the Best Buy Geek Squad is spying on me? You see that one in the Drudge Report? The FBI employed the Geek Squad from Best Buy to, like, break into your TVs and the iPhones that you bought there? That's terrific. Everything I own is from Best Buy, all my electronics. I really got to go check my pajamas now. Sure, I don't know what I'm wearing at night when watching TV. I have to get a new outfit to be spied upon. That's a whole line of clothing. A clothing line for being spied upon in your most intimate moments. So the perverts at Best Buy can have a good time. Boy, I'd like to strangle them. I'd like to put my hands through the screen and rip their lungs out. Do they have any idea how un-American that is, these creeps, these pimple-faced creeps who can't form a sentence? The only job they can get is working in an appliance store? Spying on their fellow American? Why don't they put him in prison? What country I'm living in. They've been at least, and listen, all of you global warmest fools, answer my question. I said this to the President of the United States personally, and I've got a big smile out of him, not because of the ice cream. It was about global warming. I said there have been at least five major ice ages in the Earth's past. So how do you explain that the ice retreated prior to industrialization? Duh. There is no answer from the great geniuses on it. The answer is through natural causes like sunspots, volcanic activity, etc. Don't think I'm arguing for pollution. I have done more probably than most of the Greens in this country to preserve rainforests, jungles, the law of the rainforest, ethnomedicine. I've done my stuff. I wrote Plant the Tree in 1975, which was a great work of sacrifice, that book. The point is I go where the facts lead me. I go where the evidence leads me. I don't go there with a didactic view in advance of what I'm supposed to believe. There have been at least five major ice ages in the Earth's past. The Huronian, the Cryogenian, the Andean Saharan, the Karoo Ice Age, and the Quaternary Glaciation. So what is that saying to you? These ice ages appeared and then they left. The ice retreated. There are stories in Sweden in the Middle Ages of ice, it was glaciers, coming down the mountain engulfing villages, where priests would go in front of the glacier with a cross and try to stop the glacier from engulfing another small hamlet, because they thought it was the work of God. God was angry at them and putting ice into their hamlet. So these cycles of glaciation and warming are part of the history of Earth's climate. Does that mean I'm arguing for pollution? No, the opposite is true. But I'm arguing for sanity and science rather than politics and lies. All right, I'll be back in a minute to take your calls, not on global warming, but on the other topics right here on the Savage Nation. I will also show you more and more and more about Trump's war.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, more of the Savage Nation on Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
You liberal morons, you go live there. Go live down there with your Compañeros and Cubans. See how long you last. You progressive morons who live in your mother's basement in Queens, New York. You morons, you. Go collect sugar for the Fidel Castro maniacs who killed everyone around them. This was a happy, beautiful nation until the pollution of progressivism took over. And in the beginning, by the way, Fidel Castro said, oh, I'm not a communist. Did you know that? I have a friend who actually went down into Cuba in 57, 58 and got trapped there after the revolution. I studied it in great detail because I was a great aficionado of Cuban music in the 1950s. He destroyed the heart and soul of Cuba, but all the liberals glorify Cuba. Remember Obama opened the door to Cuba? What a wonderful country it is, unless you're a Cuban. All the Americans would go over there. Great, I love it. Cheap cigars and 14-year-old hookers for $12. I love it. All the progressives go over to Cuba. What do you think they're going there for? They're going there because they're such lovers of Cuban culture? All the liberals who would go over there to get, you know what I mean, they were going there for. Come on, my friends. This was a beautiful country. Of course there was corruption. All nations are corrupt. but it became a prison camp after the communists took over. It is still a prison camp, despite what Obama has tried to teach you. I wonder what, let's just stop there. We're just happy with the music. Cochero, pare, pare, cochero, that's all. Crazy. Then, you know, I love these songs. When I was a kid, I listened to this stuff. And I used to get so happy listening to Cuban music, going to the dances up in the Palladium. I didn't know what it meant that I studied Spanish for 7 years. And one day I came home and I said, wait a minute, they're celebrating a cockroach. Not in this song. When I learned Spanish, like, they're singing about a cockroach in the kitchen when they turn the lights on. I had no idea. Then I stopped listening to Cuban music and I started listening to Beethoven. It happened in an instant. The minute I understood the lyrics was so dumb, it was impossible to believe people were singing about it. But then again, what can you do? Ignorance is bliss. Yeah, so here we are. Here we are. Bring it back home, man. Troops on the ground. Get serious. Put your nose to the grindstone. Suffer. Make everyone see your suffering, Mike, so you can be a true conservative on radio. Suffer for their sins. Die on the air every day. Give a little piece of your heart so you feel you can't get up in the morning. I don't know that I want to do that. I'm not in the mood to get into the heavy politics today. It's too hard. What do you want me to do? Explain to you that we're all not happy and thrilled with some of the direction of the Trump administration? I have to join the parade now. Yeah, 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 he's not a conservative. I told you he's not a conservative. Yeah, 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 not a conservative. I told you if I get 30% of what he promised, I'm still 130% ahead of where I would have been with Hillary Clinton. Let me be very clear to you in case you can't figure it out for yourself. Let's take the First Amendment. She threatened to impose the Fairness Doctrine, which would have meant I would have been out of business. That would have been great. Let's say you don't like me. She wanted to impose. She said so. She was on record. She thought that talk radio had to be controlled by the government, meaning ended. Well, that's not happening under Donald Trump. Let's go to the Second Amendment for all of you naysayers. Guns. Trump's not coming for your guns. She would have taken your guns away, as sure as I'm standing here. So on the basis of the First and Second Amendments alone, stop complaining. Stop undermining him. Support him. This is when he needs you. Anyone can make believe they're a real conservative by putting him down. That's a real backstabber, by the way, not a real conservative, that every day puts the man down. It's going on across the media landscape. People who were against him, then were for him, and now are against him again. So what I'm saying to you is be very careful now with the undermining. And the only way we're going to get what we want to get is by knowing what it is that we wanted and what he promised us and trying to make sure that he and the rhinos give us what we wanted. So whether it comes down to the $1 trillion in infrastructure spending, how much of that is going to be from tax base? How much is it going to be from privatization? Or let's go to the other issues one by one. He said he would rebuild the military. He's rebuilding the military. What do you want him to do? How do you expect him to do it? Do you know that Obama so depleted the military that 50% of our fighter jet aircraft cannot function off our aircraft carriers? That anti-American communist sneak destroyed the military. He denuded the military. He promoted morons in the military who demoralized the men in the military from top to bottom. 50% of our fighter aircraft cannot fly off aircraft carriers. Where'd the money go? Abortion clinics, night basketball, all the liberal programs they love so much. So Trump's going to cut those programs. What is wrong with that? Tell me what's wrong with that. You know, I look around my own neighborhood. I see all these things going on, and I say, who pays for them? Basis of capitalism. 8-year-old boys walking down the street. Me. Doesn't understand anything about anything. Suddenly one day he goes to a high school and he realizes that the very pavement he is walking upon cost money. Then he realizes that the fire hydrants he sees, which says, you know, whatever, EBMUD, East Bay Municipal District in the Bay Area or New York, the name of the company that built the fire hydrant. Every fire hydrant cost money. Every overhead electrical line cost money. And then he realizes that in order to pay for these things, someone had to pay for them. That's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of capitalism. That's how things work. Everything costs something. Nothing is free in this world. And so once you realize everything costs something, you come to understand that there's a cost-benefit ratio to everything. You understand what I'm saying to you? So, Obama took the money from the military and did what every liberal wanted him to do for the last 50 years. Cut the military, destroy the military, put incompetent people in the highest positions, like the Secretary of the Air Force who can't fly an airplane, the Secretary of the Navy, so far as I know, never drove anything above a speedboat, and change, get rid of them, get them out of there. Put real fighting men and women in these positions. I didn't say just men. I didn't say just white men. I said real fighting men and women. It's not about race. It's about competence. Okay, so Trump's doing that. He's putting $50-some-odd billion into the military. What for? Because the military's depleted. If 50% of our aircraft don't function, that's in the U.S. Navy alone. Can you imagine what's going on everywhere else? The lack of ordnance, et cetera. So there we are. I had Congressman Culberson on, for example, a couple of weeks ago. Met with him for dinner a few weeks ago out here in San Francisco. One of his pets is NASA. He loves NASA. He loves space travel. He loves thinking of the future. He wants an intergalactic space highway in Donald Trump's time in office. And he said to me, please tell the president that just as Eisenhower gave us our first interstate highways, he said, I would like to help him create the first intergalactic, I think he said intergalactic, superhighways of space. I thought it was beautiful. And he gave me some app to use on my iPhone that you look at with a certain device that shows you how the Earth looks from certain satellites flying over the... It's unbelievable. This was all over bad prosciutto. Hard to believe. As I was sending back the rotten prosciutto that was like parchment for a conga drum in San Francisco, he showed me this app. And I had that instead of the appetizer because it was tastier, to be honest with you. So we get back to the whole thing here. The whole thing is, what do you want Trump to do? What are you putting him on a pedestal for? Why do you put him on a pedestal? So you can knock him down and feel godlike? Is that it? See, a lot of people put him on a pedestal and say, oh, you see, he's not perfect. So I'm perfect because I'm knocking him. That makes you perfect by knocking him day and night. As I said to you, if you get 10%, 20%, 30%, you're getting 110, 120, 130% more than you would have gotten under her. Period. That means you now have to steer him as much as you can in the direction you want him steered, which is why I wrote Trump's War. Read the book instead of knocking me and him. Read the book and see how brilliant it is. It's a roadmap. It's a plan. It's an architectural masterpiece. No one's done better. No one can do better. That's it. And I said to you, and I'm making this promise, and I said, oh, you said it before. That's it. No more political books. No more. Cannot do them. Too much work. Too hard. Not worth it. Next book is the God book. God willing, I'm going to be able to do the God book after this book. I did 19,500 words before this book, and then I got stopped. I had to do this book. So how could you do all this stuff? A, that's what I do. As the barber once said to me 15 years ago, I said, I don't want to write anymore. It's too hard. He said, but that's what you do. Just as I cut hair, you write books. So I wrote my next 10 books. I realized that's what certain people do. That's my fate. That's my destiny. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with being prolific. When did a prolific author become a deficit? When did that become a deficit to be prolific? I have to apologize. Remember the writer Isaac Asimov? He wrote 132 books. What, was he diminished by the 132 books because he could write 132 books while the other guy couldn't get out of the starting gate? So I don't understand this country. They knock you no matter what you do. You write nothing. You're a genius. I love all the people marching around in America. They're going to write the great American novel, but they haven't started yet. They're still thinking about it. Or the people who entered the PhD program, and 35 years later, they haven't finished their thesis. I finished my doctoral thesis and got my degree in 2 years and 7 months, a world record at the University of California, so far as I know. I worked for every minute of it. It was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. I had two children, holding down three jobs, and I was working for my PhD. But I wanted that PhD more than anything in the world. It meant more to me than... If you said to me you could be an astronaut, I said, no, I want to finish this doctorate at a great university. Why? Because I was told by the liberal professors who lied to me that the PhD was my union card. I said, well, I have two master's degrees. I've written 6 books at the time. No, 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 that's not enough. They said, you got to get that card stamped. You need that union card, that PhD from a great university. Killed myself, got the degree. 180 universities rejected me. Why? They were hiring only women and minorities. Period, end of story. So I realized what was going on in the country. The social engineering had said to me, and the ACLU, by the way, once, I remember, as long as I remember, at a meeting, the ACLU, the evil ACLU who Trump must investigate for foreign ties, they put out a memo supporting affirmative action where they said, in order for some in our society to move ahead, others must be pushed back down. I said, oh, really? I'm one of those who's going to be pushed back down? An immigrant son? You're going to steal my birthright? You're going to take away my millstone? You evil, evil, evil pieces of garbage. Who gave you the authority to steal my millstone? Well, no one gave them the authority, but nobody was going to take them on. So I decided the best thing to do was do what I had to do. And that's how I got into radio, by the way. I don't know where I'm going, I mean, why I got to this. But what I'm saying is this. The Chinese have a word, for those of you who are in difficulty. I don't want to get back into the preachy, weepy thing from the other day of a show on Lost, which was a great show. But I never forget, I was in the throes of despair. after getting this degree, having young children, and all I wanted to do was teach, they wouldn't hire me because I was a white male, the dreaded white male. An almost straight A average from a great university, publications, PhD, published, wouldn't hire me. Okay, so I didn't know what to do. I felt failure. And I took it so personally, I got very, very depressed. And then I started to study all different cultures. And one of the cultures I studied was the Chinese culture in great detail. Of course, in English translation, I don't read Mandarin or any of the dialects. And I learned, I know it sounds primitive today in one of the books, that the Chinese do not have a word for crisis. But I was in a crisis. I thought I would lose my mind. But I realized they don't have a word for crisis. They have two words for crisis called difficult opportunity. And when I let that sink into my thick skull, I no longer was in a crisis. I was in a difficult opportunity, which I changed into an opportune difficulty. And that is when I sent out 475 audio tapes to 475 radio stations. And that is how I got into radio, because of a crisis called a difficult opportunity.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage and the Savage Nation on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I bet that those bags and puffiness under your eyes are still not going away. Well, look, many of you are asking Chamonix for a great deal on Genucel. So, my advertiser Genucel is back with a great discount for you. Genucel is a luxurious treatment with plant stem cells and anti-aging peptides targeting puffiness and bags under the eye. But something new is waiting for you when you order Genucel now. A $50 instant coupon for additional savings on your order. Chamonix will also give you Esotique, Chamonix's anti-aging collagen builder, and for results in 12 hours or less, you'll also get Genucel Immediate Effects as a second free gift. With this deal and today's $50 instant coupon, you can indulge in a two-month supply of three amazing Chamonix products for much, much less than department or drugstore brands that don't work. So call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891, or go to Genucel.com right now. Order Genucel now, get two free gifts and a $50 instant coupon while supplies last. Call 800-SKIN-891 or go to Genucel.com now. Just call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. This is the Savage Nation. I am looking at a story about spring breakers. We're getting drunk. Spring break students defy drinking ban to twerk. I didn't know what twerking was. I'd ask the young guys in Dallas who run my show for me what twerking means. Flash, fight, and fall over. And if you think this is bad, wait for this weekend when the party really begins. Spring break partying has already begun. Drinking on the beach, underage drinking, public intoxication, disorderly conduct. 4 days in Panama City Beach. Wow. Then there are tens of thousands heading to Daytona Beach, Fort Lauderdale, and Texas hotspot South Padre Island. For Panama City Beach, the annual influx means a $40 million payday. But there is concern some students are using college loans to fund their fun. Some students. How could they be students? Everyone's a student. These kids look like students pouring beer into their mouth with a funnel, passing a wine bag from inside a box from balcony to balcony and falling off the balcony. I can guarantee you they're not studying aeronautical engineering. This I can guarantee you. Students. Everyone's a student. I mean, I went on spring break when I was a kid. Maybe I missed something. But here it is. The pictures are there in the Daily Mail. They got nothing to do but take pictures of the kids having a good time at Panama Beach. Go ahead, enjoy yourself. You're young. One day you'll be old and you won't be able to. Much. Of course, with the socialist state emerging, you'll still be able to party at 90, so it doesn't really matter. Something for everyone for nothing. Everyone just wants to party and have a good time. Nobody wants to work. Where did they get the money for this spring break? Like student loans? They go stare in their underwear on a balcony? The guys are like just sipping beer and taking pictures of them? These girls used to be called exhibitionists in my day. If you look at them, I mean, you take a look from the front, the face, I mean, we're going to tell you. Exhibitionism, you know, is an old story. It goes back to the cave. So what are you going to do about it? People are people. They want to have a good time. They don't want to work. They don't want to worry about anything. So they get drunk, have sex, and that's all. I'm going to get mad at them? Unless they do it on their money. What do I care what they're doing? If it's consensual, why should I care about this? If they're doing it on their money, should I care? But they're not. They're spending it. They're doing it on student loans. Didn't Obama say he's going to? No, it was him, the Seltzer man. Sanderson, what's his name? Sanders, right? Colonel Sanderson's illegitimate third cousin, Bernie. Bernie Sanders said he's going to forgive all student loans. Right. See, I told you about the 8-year-old boy who came to understand that cement on the sidewalk costs something. Apparently, Bernie never came to the awareness that everything costs money. Him and Robert Reich of Berkeley still think everything is free.
Take it from the military. Take it from the corporations.
Standard left-wing crap lead us right into the slave camps of Cuba. This is the Savage Nation. Be here, be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Lights are lit, tie is straight, and the talk show is here, hour number three of the Savage Nation. Well, it happens about once a year now as I put out a new book. This year it's Trump's War. It's my most important book. I know you think I say that every time. Well, this is my most important book for a number of reasons, because Trump is enmeshed in a war. Even Time Magazine's headline right now is Trump's War, by the way. Everyone's picking up on it. They know that there's a war against him, and he's trying to conduct a war of conservatism that we, the deplorables, elected him to do. Well, then I do a small, you know, tour, because no one will have me except the hardcore. Newsmax has me. Laura Ingraham has me. Alex Jones has me. Other than that, there's not a lot of media that I'm going to be doing next week. Even Larry Jones, I mean, Larry King, who's by far not a conservative, but he's an ace interviewer. I happen to enjoy Larry King. He's on a small network, Aura TV. I'll be on next Wednesday. It's owned by RT. It's run on RT. I guess that means he's a Russian spy as well. Maxine Waters ought to look into Larry King. I mean, it could be that he is not really a liberal. Could turn out that he's actually working with the KGB. Who knows? Ask Maxine Waters. She knows everything about Russia. She can't even speak English correctly, but she's an expert on Russia and the Russian language. Anyway, so I did an interview today with Steve Malzberg of Newsmax, and I want you to hear the opening interview of this interview with Steve that occurred just this morning right here on the Savage Nation.
Now, let me ask you first right off the bat here, because while I'm reading this book, I'm saying, my God, this is something that Donald Trump has to have in his hands to fully understand and comprehend without worrying about whether or not those around him are telling him. This book would tell him. Has Donald Trump seen this book?
I sent this. First of all, I met the president a few weeks ago at Mar-a-Lago.
We have a picture of that. Yes, we're putting that up with Chris Ruddy, our CEO. Yes.
It was really the high point of my career. He's exactly what he sounds like on the campaign trail and in his speeches. He's congenial, he's honest, he's authentic. And although we didn't really discuss policy, we had dessert for over 60 minutes, he and I alone. And I must tell you, I never eat ice cream or chocolate syrup, but if the president eats it, I figured I did. We talked about the old neighborhood in Queens, New York. He grew up on one side of Union Turnpike, I grew up on the other. I was in the attached houses, he was in the richer area. But in all seriousness, I sent him a signed copy. I've not heard from the president. But I do lay out a roadmap of why we went to the polls, why I fought so hard for over a year to have people go out and vote for him. And people are very unhappy in some ways right now. The debt is increasing. We have ground troops in Syria. They're frightened. They see no repeal of Obamacare. They're hearing now from Mitch McConnell no tax savings. No wall. They don't know what to think. Well, the important thing to remember is this, and I have to put everything in context, Steve. Let's say we only get 30 or 40% of his promises on the campaign trail, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's 30%. Mm-hmm. That's 130% more than we would have gotten with Hillary Clinton. Just think where we would be today.
Oh, my God.
In March, if Hillary Clinton were president, let's just go down the list. First Amendment.
You and I are in the First Amendment business. Hillary clearly said she wanted to pass the so-called fairness doctrine. She would have put me out of business and you out of business. That's not happening under Donald Trump. Check the First Amendment. Second Amendment. The guns would be seized under Hillary. That was one of her, the glints in her eye. Second Amendment. You know the progs are mad about the Second Amendment. They want the guns gone. That's not happening under Donald Trump. So we have to count our blessings. Are we ever going to get 100% of what a politician promises us? Who would believe that? Nobody. I don't understand where all the naysayers are coming from so fast, jumping down his throat. But, you know, I did a whole show yesterday, Steve, on this question. Who actually is the greatest threat to Trump's agenda? Who really is doing it? We know it's the McConnells. Tax cuts will have to wait. We know it's the Ryans. Trump care is as good as Obamacare, but better. So we know about them. We know about the progs on the left. We know the Soros money is everywhere, organizing the riots. But, you know, yesterday, Steve, I really raised an issue that probably will not engender me with a lot of love in the inner circle of the Trump administration, which is who within his inner circle is actually undermining him. And I name names. I mean, we know who they are. Are they really doing him a favor in their, you know, in their machinations, in their movements? I mean, let's be very clear, Steve. Who am I talking about?
You were asking me? Because
I'm asking Steve Malzberg. Steve is the all-knowing Steve Malzberg at Newsmax.
Well, I'd imagine you're talking about people like Priebus, correct? I mean, you're not talking about the Bannons and the Stephen Millers. You'd be talking about the so-called other side.
I think that you're not seeing the bigger picture from my... Well, let me say that you're not seeing... Priebus is clearly there, and by the way, he's a very nice man.
He is
from
a very nice
RNC.
Man, yeah.
He's a very nice man. Let's not demonize everyone we don't agree with. Soros is not a nice man. Hillary is not a nice woman. Priebus is a nice man, but Priebus was put in there by the Republican National Committee to steer the ship back to where it was. There's no question about that. He was put on that wheel to make sure it doesn't go to the right. I'm a little concerned about Steve Bannon, and I'll tell you why. Steve Bannon, by the way, all of his beliefs and policies are more or less my own. Borders, language, culture, he's gung-ho nationalist, love it all. But there's a big difference between running a website, doing a radio talk show, and making policy happen. I don't think Bannon understands the barriers between those three things. You cannot govern a nation the way you run a website. And I think that he pushed Donald too far and too fast on certain issues which backfired on the president. I think he should have spent more time initially on jobs, rebuilding steel mills, for example, in Pennsylvania, instead of worrying about Brexit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And I think you and I would agree that he's not a racist. He's not an anti-Semite. He's not the caricature that the media has made him out to be.
You
probably bring up a point. And that's why I think in an ideal world, working with Priebus together, and maybe they are and maybe they're not. I'm not there. I don't know. But working together, maybe Bannon could help be helped in that transition from talk show host and website runner, if you will, to legislative advisor through Priebus's guidance.
I don't know what the inner workings are. I all I can say is this. Donald Trump is a true patriot. He is a nationalist. He is trying to give the American people who voted for him what they asked for. He's being derailed. And again, I have to bring it back to the purpose of this interview. I wrote Trump's War, which will be out Tuesday, for one reason. Not to buy a new car. I have a new car. My mortgage is paid for. I don't need a new suit. This is 10 years old. It works fine. I wrote this book, Steve, because we have to remember why we voted for Donald Trump, what it is we wanted, what it is he promised, and how to get there. And that's why it's laid out. You know, it's called his Battle for America. It's really our battle for America, isn't it?
It really is.
If we don't jump in, if we don't jump in and demand that the rhinos do what we want them to do and go out there and make sure that they're thrown out of office, all is lost. But many of us have forgotten what it is we voted for. You want to talk about Chapter 2? Chapter 1, Trump's war against the enemies within. Draining the swamp. Trump's economic war. Let's talk about the economic war. Taxation and regulation. The forgotten man. Turnpikes. Can I talk about turnpikes for a minute?
Please do.
You know, that's a great topic. Let me tell you why. We've all driven on a turnpike. We're hearing that Donald Trump's going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure, roads, highways, bridges, tunnels. Saying, wait a minute, how does that differ from big government? My prayer is that we make it privatization.
Yes.
We, in other words, we build all these things with a private model. And what I write is, we used to have a former private road system. People didn't know that for the first 80 or so years after the Constitution was ratified, most roads and infrastructure were built, just as Donald Trump is suggesting, they'd be built now by private companies investing their own funds and running them for profit. Now, this is interesting, Steve. In researching this book, anyone who has driven in the Northeast has traveled on a turnpike. But I'll bet not one in a thousand knows what the word turnpike means. Do you, Steve? I didn't.
No, not really.
No. Pike is another word for pole, and the roads are called turnpikes because when they were first built, they were all toll roads run by private companies. They'd have a long pole, a pike, across the road, and when you paid the toll, they turned the pike to open the road and let you pass.
Huh.
It's similar to the turnstiles at modern subway systems. You pay the fee, and the turnstile rotates to let you through. Okay?
Interesting.
Now, just to be clear, Steve, just to be clear, I'm not talking about today's system where the money for the road is collected in taxes and the government hires and pays a contractor to complete the road in the longest time and at the greatest expense possible. I am talking about private investors funding the road themselves, taking the risk that the revenue generated will provide a return on their investment. That's what Trump is suggesting. That's how roads were built in this country until the Republicans first gained power after the Civil War. This is all in my book. So I go backwards in order to go forwards. And I think we shouldn't rush to judgment and say the $1 trillion in spending is big government. It may not be.
Right.
It could be a privatization plan.
Yes, he's talked about that. He's trumpeted that. And whether or not it's 100%, which I would doubt, and I guess you would doubt too, I don't know if that's possible, but certainly different than the Obama, quote-unquote, infrastructure $1 trillion spending bill, which we know they were building street signs and road signs that cost, you know, $50,000, and it went down a hole. So this will be different if you listen to Trump. But this book, as I was saying as we were getting you on, Michael, is such a quick read. It's such a wonderful read because you don't want to put it down. And you have the 13 chapters, and you talk about the rhinos. You have a whole chapter on Donald Trump's war against the rhinos.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Back to Michael Savage on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome back. Now, there's a big, big story brewing about the CIA right now, and people don't know what to think. You know, the CIA has been said to be all bad, and I'm not in that field of enterprise to say that everything the CIA does is bad. You've got to be insane to say that. How many terrorists do you happen to know of that they may have stopped? Why must you assume everything they do is bad? That's such a liberal view. CIA evil. I can't believe everyone who works for the CIA is wrong, or that everything they did is bad. I mean, so we have to be very careful now with our blanket statements about organizations such as the FBI or the CIA. And I cover this in detail in the War of the Deep State in Trump's war. And this morning I spoke with Steve Malzberg of Newsmax, where I discuss this issue and the restoration of the military and what has been done to the military under Barack anti-American Obama.
$54 billion increase in spending for the military, and you have, of course, Trump's war to restore the military. Talk about what he's up against in your view, and do you believe that is a figure that will get the job done?
Well, I don't know the exact amount of money that is needed, but I know some of the facts and figures that anyone out there can listen to and agree with. Because Barack Hussein Obama was so anti-American, anti-military, anti-family, anti-church, anti-school. Let me go down the list. He hated the military. That's one of the liberal mantras. In the 60s, the libs used to say, take the money from the military and give it to the night basketball people. Give it to the abortion clinics. Let's cut to the bottom line here. Half of our airplanes, our jet fighters on aircraft carriers, are inoperable because there were no parts, there was no service. 50% of our fighter strike force does not operate. Now think about that. Listen to what Obama did. He depleted the military. He has decimated the Air Force. If that's not treason, I'd like to know what is. So that's a separate issue here. But the real issue is $54 billion enough? I don't really know.
Yeah. When it comes to the deep state, and I believe it's the 12th chapter, Trump's War Against the Deep State, so much to talk about because it's a story that the narrative continues to develop and change. And yes. Trump's tweet that he accused Obama of wiretapping or bugging Trump Tower or bugging himself. Where do you think, I mean, how something else that's come to light as you address is that, you know, the Obama holdovers and the outgoing Obama people made sure that they would be able to compile stuff and have stuff to take with them, in their view, on Donald Trump and the people around him, and then slowly leak it out to the media who are in cahoots with them.
Right. So what's the issue?
Yeah, well, the issue is, how does Trump overcome what I just described, as well as apparently an intelligence community that has it in for him to a great extent?
It's called firing Obama's appointees en masse. You should fire 5,000 people, clean the agencies out, and put in his own people. Now, you say easier said than done. Maybe it's very difficult to find competent people who know how to run the machinery. So I don't have the answer to that, but we do know that there's great opposition to him from within the intelligence agencies. And I'm a little concerned about a related issue, which I talked about yesterday. I'm going to talk about today on the radio show, Steve, which is this whole WikiLeaks Julian Assange lining up and collaborating with the tech giants. I'm very concerned about WikiLeaks joining the tech giants, and I'll tell you why. Remember last year or so, the slaughter by the Muslims of their co-workers at San Bernardino?
Yep.
Remember they killed people in cold blood?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then they caught one of them. They found her phone or his phone, and the FBI, Mr. Comey, begged Apple, Tim Cook, to give them the encryption codes to get into the terrorist phone.
Wouldn't do it.
And Tim Cook said, no, we're not doing it. Now, to me, that was treason. They should have arrested Tim Cook. But they didn't. Do you know why? Because Apple, Google, those companies, they're bigger than U.S. Steel was at their peak. They are monopolies. They're bigger than the government. They have more power than any government does on this planet. And so when you see a man defying the FBI like this, you have to ask yourself, is he really doing it for our privacy, or is he doing it to sell more iPhones? Think about that, Steve. Nobody wants the government tapping into our own iPhone. We give that. But it's this whole terrible question of security versus privacy. We go back to Ben Franklin. We know all of that stuff. But we're not living with Ben Franklin and the kite and the key. We're living with fanatical Islamists amongst us who are plotting to destroy us as I speak.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I got a text on my ancient phone this morning. I have a couple of different devices. Apparently this old Samsung device can be dropped from a building and bounce. And it can't be hacked. I understand. These flip phones, can they be hacked, Robert? Are they hackable? No. I love this phone. And I got an email, a text from a friend of mine who's a former combat veteran in Vietnam, a real hero, though. Silver Star. I didn't know who sent it, frankly. I didn't recognize his number. So I thought it was someone bothering me. I look at it, it says, so now we've got troops on the ground in Syria? The Russians are a lot smarter. Their commitment is an air force. They're not risking young Russian soldiers in that garbage can. This looks like 1964 all over again. Now, this comes from a rock-solid combat veteran who has bullet wounds in his body from the Vietnam War. So don't start screaming pinko progressive, all you PJ media types out there. Something's wrong with that picture. Why are we sending troops to Syria? Do you agree with Trump that we need ground troops in Syria? Is it a good or bad idea? It's my question of the day. No one's talking about it. Do you agree with Trump in sending ground troops to Syria? We don't know how many are there. What happens if they capture a few of our men and torture them to death on camera? Have you ever thought about that? The Russians, by the way, have not had one man captured. You know why? They kill everybody in sight when they go in from 30,000 feet. Everyone dies. They don't care if it's a camel, an infant, an old man, a yoga instructor. They all die. But their own boys don't die. You see, that's how they fight wars. They lost 40 million men in World War II. I don't think they want to waste another generation of men, which is why so many of the beautiful Russian women are coming to America looking for men. There's a shortage of men, in case you don't know it, because so many of them were wasted a couple of generations ago. But I don't want to bore you with the details of war. I love guys who are going to call now, yeah, I'm all for them boots on the ground. I want more American troops to go over there. But all the guys are going to call for boots on the ground. Why don't you go enlist? I'm against boots on the ground. I'm for bombs on the ground. I'm for bombing them from 35,000 feet until they don't exist anymore. Cluster bombs. Makes no difference to me. Whatever we have in ordnance, use it. You know where their training camps are. Oh, I'm sorry, they have children who they're training to kill you as well? You think those children are going to be rehabilitated once they get to Germany? They're never going to rehabilitate them. They come to the West and they hate your guts. Look at their faces, you idiots, you! Walk around the streets of your city and take a look at the faces of hate. See where the hate's coming from. Oh, I know, I should talk about love, not hate. Okay, I'll talk about love. Give peace a chance. Put a daisy in a rifle butt, in a rifle barrel. Yeah, John Lennon. Give peace a chance. Right. I've given peace a chance. It doesn't work. If a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, George Orwell taught me personally. He said, if a man comes to put a bomb in your mother's house, put a bomb in his mother's house first. That's the answer to that question. Do you agree with the Pope that married men can be priests? That's his newest thing. It's an odd one because I've actually said the same thing myself a few years ago. It would cut down on our... Look, let's look at it this way. The Pope is a left-wing communist whack job, former bouncer and all. We know that. He's not really a religious figure any more than I am. He's a politician who wears like a funny hat and walks around in a glass car. And people in glass cars shouldn't throw diatribes. But nevertheless, the Pope said something I agree with because even a stop clock is correct twice a day. The Pope said that he thinks married men can become priests. I actually think it would cut down on molestation. Think about it. I mean, if they take, first of all, if the guy's married, we're talking about married man to woman. We're not talking about the other stuff that's popular in Columbus, Ohio. If you're going to put married men into the priesthood, because you can't get enough people going into the priesthood, there's too much money at Google. In other words, if they get a job at Google, why would they want to become a priest? It's the same thing, basically. They're both celibate. In one case, you make money and you get free beer. In the other case, you don't make any money and you get no free beer. So, in other words, what would you choose if you were that type of personality? You'd go to work for Google or Facebook. You wouldn't become a priest. In the old days, guys working there, like the nerds, they'd be priests. Right? That's kind of sarcastic and a little, you know, weird, but it's true. There's a touch of truth in that one. I agree with the Pope. I think married men can be priests. When did this start? This is a new thing, by the way. Celibacy in the priesthood. That's not, you know, biblical. Not a biblical thing, the celibacy thing. It's kind of an odd thing. I mean, why do you think there's so much trouble there inside behind those rectories? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. We know it's a small percentage there. What, 2-3% of them are sickos. But it costs the church a lot of money for the few sickos. So put married men into the church. What's wrong with that? Into the priesthood. Nothing wrong with that. I remember when I was a kid, I lived on Utopia Parkway in Queens, New York. I keep harkening back to it. They weren't the best years of my life. They weren't great. They were horrible, by the way. I actually despised my childhood. I'm much happier today. In other words, my life today, I know people always like glorify their childhood. Mine was grueling, horrible. Migraines, fights, screaming, yelling, jobs, no money, clothing was horrible, dead man's pants. The slush, having to go to school in the slush. Who wants to go to school in slush? Everyone else looked like they were like blonde and blue-eyed and lived in California and surfed. I was schlepping to Jamaica High School in slush on the Q44A. But nevertheless, we live next to a large Catholic church. And sometimes, to this day, I remember walking up Utopia Parkway to the corner. I don't know, to catch a bus or something. I had no car. It was one car in the family. Can you believe that? We were that poor that there was only one car in the family. How poor can you get? Only dad had a car. Mom had no car. Can you imagine living like that? Oh, my God. One vacation a year. How can we live like that? You wonder why there's a budget deficit. Everyone's living beyond their means. The government's living beyond their means. So anyway, I was walking up to the corner, I think, and I would walk past some houses in the attached house row that I lived in that were owned by the church that the priests lived in. They always had a weird... I always, like, walked across the street passing that rectory. They always had, like, a weird look on their faces. They were, like, too pink. They always, like, looked like they washed with brown soap. And I don't know. There was something odd about the look on the face of the altar boys as they came out of those houses. I avoided those places. I was afraid of them. So I don't know. I agree that Pope Francis may have something that married men can be priests. Francis the Pope said in an interview published Thursday in Germany's Die Zeit that the Catholic Church must study whether the so-called viri probati, Latin for tested men or married men of outstanding faith, could be ordained. We must consider if viri probati as a possibility. Then we must determine what tasks they can perform, for example, in remote communities, Pope Francis said. Pope Francis said eliminating the church's celibacy rule is not the answer to the priest shortage, but that the idea of using married men could be helpful. Married men are allowed to be ordained to the priesthood in the Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church. He said if that requirement were to be relaxed, it would apply only to men who are already married, allowing them to be ordained as priests. It would not allow men who are already priests to marry without... to marry, okay. He said without priests, the church... It's true, the priest is the building block of the whole church. So I with no sarcasm, I truly believe that permitting married men who want to serve God to do it this way is a great idea. I don't see the problem. I know I shouldn't say it, but I will say it. I've signed a deal with an outlet that will have this show, as I'm doing it, live streaming. The whole show will be streaming live on cable outlets. Big, big deal. It's a huge deal. It will not be by subscription. We're not going to gun a few. You don't have to pay for it. How do you like that? It'll be purely supported by advertising. So it'll be seen around the
world. Savage.
All right, we're back live on the Savage Nation. Those are the topics. Ground troops in Syria, good or bad idea? Do you agree with Pope Francis that married men can be priests? Will Trump be able to balance the federal budget or will the deficit explode? Do you agree with Trump on his... restoration of funding to the military? These are some of the questions we're talking about. Let's go to KSFO. David, you've been holding a long time on line four. David, welcome to the program. Boots on the ground or not in Syria?
Absolutely. We need boots on the ground.
That's it. You're going? You're enlisting?
Yes. Yes.
You're enlisting? You're going to go there and fight?
Sir, I've been overseas. I've been in the Persian Gulf. And I know what it's like. I know those guys.
All right, fine. I take my hat off to you. Why don't we just bomb them in their strongholds?
Because we've been doing that, sir. We've been doing that all along.
Well, wait a minute. We haven't been doing it. The Russians have been doing it.
The command and control system like we have. If we have boots on the ground, we have the commanders that are unbounded by this current administration like they were for the past decade almost by the freaking Obama. We will get it done, and we will get it done right.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying that because of Obama, the rules of engagement were so restrictive.
I'm saying, yes, the commanders had their hands tied. They couldn't do anything over there unless they had the clearance from way up above. They couldn't get the job done. And that's what causes all the casualties there. Because when people are afraid to go and make decisions... because they're afraid of what the repercussions are, men are going to die, men and women.
Well, wait a minute. How do you know the rules of engagement have changed under Trump?
Oh, they have. Look at General Mattis.
I know the generals have changed, but have they actually rewritten the rules of engagement yet?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They have?
Yes. Look at the last friggin' thing that was done, this operation that killed one SEAL. Yes.
Well, I'd like to see the rules of engagement. I saw them under Obama. I published them in a previous book. I've yet to see any writings as to changes in the rules of engagement. Where can those be accessed?
Because they will be classified. And they're not.
Oh, so how do you know? Wait, they'll be classified. I assume then you've read them?
Oh, yes. I have guys that I know that will not speak until 15 or 20 years after the event has taken place.
And what, so they're allowed to kill people now without waiting to be killed first?
Oh, not saying allowed, no. I'm just saying that the current command structure will not have their hands tied this time.
So in other words, if they go into a dangerous situation, they're not going to wait to see one of their men have their guts blown out before they can fire back.
What isn't a dangerous situation? That's the question.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, all of Syria is a dangerous situation.
Exactly, and that's the point. But with this current...
So you're in favor of boots on the ground. So how many boots on the ground?
As many as it takes to get the job done, sir. And I know...
Well, what if it's 200,000? You want to see an escalation as in Vietnam?
Well, we're talking different realms here. Back then, those guys, those poor bastards over there had their hands tied from the freaking get-go. This is a different story, sir. We're going to get it done. And I have full faith.
Why can't we just bomb them into a submission?
Because, sir, we've been doing that. We've been bombing.
Wait a minute. Right now, we're seeing that with the Russian Air Force and the Syrian Army, they're liberating one region after another without U.S. troops. So what are the U.S. troops needed for?
People are still flooding over here. We have refugees not flooding here, but going other places to get the hell out of that war-torn area.
But what does that have to do with sending U.S. troops there?
We're going to murderize everyone over there.
Well, you want to talk about that issue? I think that we should repatriate every refugee from Syria as soon as possible and put them into safe communities in Syria. In other words, build large, contained communities in Syria and repatriate all Syrian refugees that have come in since Obama was bringing them here and get them out of this country, because we cannot have them here. They're going to bring their hatred, and they're going to bring their internecine warfare. They're going to bring their religious hatred to this country. I don't care which side they were on. We don't need them here.
I agree with you, sir.
Why is it that 98% of all Syrian refugees brought in under Obama were Muslim and not Christian? Think about that one. When it was the Christians who were being attacked and killed, it was the churches that are being burned. Why did Obama bring in only Muslims? And who are these single men that Obama has brought into this country? They're not largely infants and women. They're 90%, 96% of all Syrian refugees were Muslim, number one, and the largest percentage of them were single men. They should be repatriated to Syria, to safe havens that are built by the international community. That's what really needs to be done, I think, don't you?
I totally agree with you, sir.
All right, well, I'm sending you Trump's War, because everything I just laid out can be found in that book. The phone number here is 855-407-282. We have another topic here of, should priests who are married, should married men be able to become priests? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage, weekdays from noon to 3 on Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
Back on the Savage Nation. I mean, there's a lot of good news out there. No one's looking at the good news. His detractors, called liberals, will look for anything to attack Donald Trump. And his greatest threat, frankly, are not the liberals, but those who pretend to be conservatives who attack him at every turn, saying that he's not conservative enough. And as I've said to you, by undermining him, what you're doing is feeding the left. He needs our help now more than ever. Nobody wants to see the deficit increase, but what about the good that he's doing so far? The job growth has been very strong in February. Wages are up. A record number of Americans are employed. Manufacturing has tripled the growth in manufacturing tripled growth, by the way. Construction is the largest gain in 10 years. Of course, the debt has decreased by $60 billion since the inauguration. Let me repeat that. For all of you never-Trumpers, the debt has decreased $60 billion since the inauguration. 235,000 new jobs have been created. So which side are you on? Are you on the side of Schumer, Pelosi, and Maxine Waters? Or are you on the side of the Trump revolution? Make up your mind. You can't have it both ways. You can't be on two sides of the street at one time. Either you're with him or you're against him. It's that simple. We are in a war. It is Trump's war. Either you're for him or you're against him. Does that mean we have to do everything, agree with everything he does? No. I told you 100 times. Our job is to make sure he gives us what we asked for to the extent that we can get it. And even if we get 30% of what he promised, we'll be at least 130% ahead of where we would have been had Hillary Clinton won. Never forget that. First Amendment, she was going to take away radio. She was going to take away websites. She said she would do that. It's not happening under Trump. That alone should have everyone in the conservative media on his side instead of stabbing him in the back every day while saying they're doing him a favor. There's a saying, you can't pee on someone's back and call it rain. This is the Savage Nation. Have a good weekend.